Father, in the name of Jesus, as always, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Glory to God. And so let it be this morning. And may we receive that understanding today, even as it is the title of today's lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, I love that scripture. I always love to say it. I say it all the time. You know, one of my favorite all-time scriptures, especially when I stand to teach the word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 130. I say it all the time. When I'm at the church service, get up on stage, I say it. When I come in this clubhouse, I say it. I always say it. And it's not just rhetoric. You know, it's amazing what it can really do. So, yesterday we've been covering, in case you're new to the room, this is our, you know, Pillars of Wisdom series. So we've been covering several of them. Yesterday was cancer, but I could not wait to drop a word at the end of yesterday to speak on behalf of understanding. Because the last part of yesterday's room was really understanding. The scripture I started to talk about in Job 32 and 8. We'll see that will come up again today. Today's lesson is on understanding. If you missed any part of it over the last 5 days or so, please go back, listen to the replays, and I'm sure you'll be blessed. We started out by giving a summary of what wisdom is all about. Even before we started the pillars, we did the attributes of wisdom, divine wisdom. So we don't think we're talking of something carnal, something fleshly, something sensual, or something even devilish. Don't want that. You know, we want, you know, something that is, you know, is peaceable, is easy to be entreated. You know, it's quiet, it's full of good fruits, it's without partiality, it's without hypocrisy. You know, we want that kind of wisdom. So we started to talk about the wisdom, you know, that is from above. Then we talked about how wisdom builds her house, but there are seven pillars that supporting that house. You know, we talked about cracks that may appear in the house, which oftentimes can be traced to, you know, defects in the pillars. See that the pillars were not built or set just right or something. So we want to make sure that we take care of that so that this house, you know, will be strong. Those pillars together give strength to the house that wisdom is building. Seven pillars, which we are covering in this series. We've already covered the first one. Always the first one is the fear of the Lord. And if we don't have that one, we're not even going anywhere. You know, so we started out with the fear of the Lord. You know, and the way we've been presenting this is I'll give some, you know, definitions. Some taken from the dictionary, some taken from experience over the years, some given to me by the Holy Spirit. Put it all together, come out with those definitions. Then we'll go into scriptures, we'll look at, you know, some examples, and things like that. Then we may even say some other words given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You know, and we take it like a teaching class. So there's a lot of scripture to give. And then we talk about benefits of that pillar. We also talk about, we make a prayer around that. The next one we talked about after the fear of the Lord was prudence. Each one of these was powerful in its own right. Then we talked about, you know, after prudence, we already covered knowledge. And my goodness, knowledge, I mean, if you remember anything about knowledge at all, many things we dropped. Prudence itself, I mean, all of these things just seem like, even each pillar seems like wisdom itself, just by, you know, I mean, it seems like the entire wisdom just by itself. Prudence, if you look at it, looks like wisdom just by itself. Knowledge, my goodness. Wisdom builds the house. It's established by understanding, but it is by knowledge that the chambers thereof are filled with precious things. You know, we covered that. At the corridors of influence, knowledge is the king. covered so many things, you know, about that. And then we dropped down, you know, to yesterday was counsel. You know, there are a lot of good stuff that we covered about counsel yesterday. You know, how one of the key things I want to bring out was that, you know, even in the life of what promoted Joseph, I talked about this yesterday, wasn't exactly the gift of interpretation of dreams that made room for him to stand before the king. But it was his counsel that he gave after he interpreted the dream, and they gave the counsel of what needed to be done. And that's what actually got him that tremendous promotion. So, you know, counsel is so deep. But we talked about counsel not just for, you know, being able to give advice to somebody else, but more importantly, counsel that's in our heart for our own life. And it says counsel is like deep, you know, deep wells within a man's heart. It would take a man of understanding to draw it out. So now we're going to go to understanding and see if we can draw all those things out. Glory to God. So today it's going to be understanding. So here we go. Understanding is a pillar of wisdom. You know, and right away we see that in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, which I've already quoted, you know, you'll see that understanding is very key to the house that wisdom is building. Now, it is our hope that that house is, you know, the analogy, you know, is that that house is our life. And it is our hope that as we're going through this life, this life's journey, we're actually building it with wisdom, you know, and not, you know, not just going through life anyhow and then having regrets. You know, we've got to use wisdom. So we see how understanding is what establishes the house that wisdom builds. You find that in Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. You know, and knowledge is what brings a lot of riches into it, but understanding is what establishes it. So we're going to talk about understanding this morning. I mean, it is so key that we have this understanding. Even in, you know, even in building the house, you know, if you don't have the right understanding, you might just be destroying your own house. When your house is like, let's even say a marriage, even here in Proverbs 14 and verse 1, it says, every wise woman buildeth her house. So you see, wisdom is what always builds a house. But the foolish will pluck it out with her own hands. Wisdom, understanding, you know, they are right there, you know, for building a house. Hallelujah. Now, this same Proverbs 14 says, you know, wisdom cannot be found by a scorner. In other words, if you approach this subject, you know, with scornfulness, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, if you approach this subject with scornfulness or disdain, you're not going to get anything out of it. Proverbs 14 and verse 6 says, a scorner will seek wisdom, but he's not going to find it. You know, but knowledge is easy unto him that hath understanding. Hallelujah. So we are going to, you know, we talked about knowledge, we talk about a lot of things, but understanding is what's going to even make you easy to get it. So let's go deep into it this morning and, you know, get your seatbelts on as we go through here. So it is a pillar of wisdom, understanding is. Now, it is what makes wisdom the principal thing. So you must pursue it rigorously. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. And so you must get wisdom. But with all you're getting, it's not just, you know, if you don't have understanding, it's not going to work. You know, so let me read that to you. It's actually not a but, it's an and. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. So understanding is really the key that makes wisdom the principal thing. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. There's more to come about this understanding. Taking it slow at the beginning so you can all catch up. As priceless as understanding is, it is very difficult to find it or to know where it is really found. We covered a little bit of it yesterday, but I want to read a text here in the book of Job, chapter 8, from verse 12. I want to read a text there. Job chapter 28, I meant to say. I want to read a text to us about the quest for understanding and how, where, you know, where can it be found? Let's start from verse 12 of Job 28. Where shall wisdom be found? He says. And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The deep saith, it's not in me. The sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued for the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or even the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or gold. No mention shall be made. No, you know, look, he said, look, we're talking about this. What about even corals or even pearls? You know, the price of wisdom is above rubies. Topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it. Neither shall it be valued with pure gold. But then, where's cometh wisdom then? And where's the place of understanding? You can see how it puts understanding right next to wisdom right there. Every time you're looking for wisdom, it's really understanding that's going to help you to get it. That's Proverbs 4 and 7, which we read. All you're getting, get understanding. Well, where then are you going to find understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close to the from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, well, we have heard the fame of it with our ears, you know, but, you know, we don't really know. But here is the answer. God understandeth the way thereof. Whoo, hallelujah. And he knoweth the place thereof. Hallelujah. So that's what we were talking about at the end of yesterday's lesson. Job 32 and verse 8. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty will drop that spirit, will drop that understanding inside that spirit. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. Now, this understanding, you can't get it on your own. It comes from the Lord. God, we've looked at all these places that say, well, understanding is not in me. I can't bring it forth. Price and money and rare jewels and metals cannot even be compared to it. You know. So, let's look at some definitions. Quick definitions for it. Well, understanding can be defined as the ability of deep comprehension, perception, and discernment. Number two, it is the knowledge of or familiarity with a particular thing. It is the skill in dealing with or handling something. Here's another definition. Understanding can be considered as superior power of discernment and enlightened intelligence. Now, some of these are from the dictionary, and I may have embellished it a little bit with my own understanding. You know, but, you know, you can see how powerful it is. Deep comprehension, perception, and discernment. familiarity with a particular thing, a skill in dealing with or handling something, and so on and so forth. You know, Psalm 119, 130, which I gave you at the beginning, the entrance of God's word into our heart brings light, gives understanding to the simple. Lean not to your understanding, Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord for inspiration. Now, Proverbs chapter 111 and verse 10 says, those that do God's commandments will get good understanding. So again, God's commandment is his word, which is also like the entrance of his word. You know, so in many places we see that getting understanding is tied to the word of God. Inspiration of the Almighty, of course, gives understanding. Job 32 and 8. Knowledge and understanding come from the Lord. But we need to seek after these things diligently. In the book of Proverbs chapter 2, I want to read a few verses there. I went through those really quickly because I want to get to this and just read it. I want to read the first 6 verses or so from Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply your heart unto understanding. You'll see that every time he talks about wisdom, puts understanding right next to it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, again, puts understanding right up next to knowledge. If thou seek her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, and look at what he says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, you know, and know the knowledge of God. Because that's how it all begins. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Wow. And you can go on and on, but let me leave that one there. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. And let me read, you know, verses 5-7. I quoted verse 7 before, but I want to read from verse 5 now. Get wisdom. Get understanding. See again, right next to wisdom. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. We don't know whether he's talking about wisdom or understanding here, but they are paired together. And she shall preserve thee. Love her and she shall keep thee. Now, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Now, what we're bringing out of these scriptures, he says, if you exalt her, she shall promote you. She shall bring you to great honor. Therefore, you have to embrace her. And she shall put on your head like an ornament of grace and so on and so forth. What we're bringing out of these scriptures is you have to seek, search for these things. You know, just like he says, you know, it's deep down in the heart. You have to figure out a way to draw it out. You know, it's not, we're not just going to leave it to chance and think that we're going to get understanding or wisdom or any of these pillars. You know, we got to be intentional in developing the ways, you know, that lead to strengthening these pillars. Now, let's continue here with understanding because I got a lot to say about this subject. So let me move on. Now, understanding, as we see here, is, I've given some definitions. Here are a few other scriptures and things about understanding. What understanding you give to us? Job 28 and verse 28 says, to depart from evil is understanding. Well, You can turn that around and read it as this. You know, understanding will cause you to depart from evil. Isn't that amazing? You know, so a house is built by wisdom, but it is by understanding that it is established. I covered that already. Proverbs 24 verses 3-4. Now, God gave Daniel and his companions a lot of knowledge, skill, learning, wisdom, and so forth. But Daniel had understanding. in all visions and dreams. We can read that out of Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. I'm not going to stop to read it, but it says that, you know, they were already skilled. These were some of the qualifications that Nebuchadnezzar was looking to when he told his recruiters whom to bring before him. They must be skilled in all sciences. They must have no blemish. They were already princes and things like that, but they have to have the capacity for learning so they can teach them, you know, the language of the Chaldeans and all these things and so forth. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, let me drop down here and talk to you about how powerful this understanding is, you know, not just in physical, material, or the natural world, even in the things of God. You know, understand, I mean, the gospel of the kingdom, the message of salvation, and all these things, you know, if you don't have understanding, you know, I don't even know. It's not going to work. Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 13, there were a series of parables that Jesus put out there. And one of the first ones in that chapter was the parable of the sower, which we all know. He said, well, kingdom of heaven is lacking unto a sower that went out to sow and began to cast his seed here and there. You know, some of them fell here and some fell there and so on. You know the story, you know. And so later they came to him and said, well, explain to us. And why are you telling them these things? Why do you always speak in parables? And so Jesus answered, he said, because to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, Matthew 13 and 12, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. You know, that seems strange, but that's what Jesus said. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. So understanding is key. And seeing ye shall see, and ye shall not perceive, and so on. Now, you say, now hear the parable of the sower. Verse 18. Then verse 19 says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now this is he which received seed by the wayside. So we see that, look, this was the first of the series of seeds that were cast. The seed that fell on the wayside, Jesus explained it. You know, because he said the birds of the air came and picked it up. They didn't go anywhere. Couldn't even get in deep into the soil. It was just on the wayside. So the birds of the air came and picked it up. And Jesus explained it here. He said it is because the person lacked understanding. So the devil will come and take the word that they already heard out of their heart. Now, you know, when I meditate on that, it sounds like more of a catch-22. You need understanding, you know, when you hear the word of God. But then it's God's word that's going to give you understanding. So it's kind of like, you know, how do you get it? So, but here is the secret. You know, a person must give their heart to seek understanding when they are hearing the word of God. If you are hearing the word of God and you really want to understand it, and God's going to give you understanding. And if you don't, then the enemy is going to come and catch it out of your heart. And at the end, you're not even going to, it's not going to mean anything at all. No matter how much time was spent teaching that word to that person. So understanding is even the very key element, you know, that is important in when we hear the word of God. If you don't have that understanding, we're going to lose it. The enemy is going to come and catch it out of that person's heart. Now, that's not a good place to be. Let's read, before we get out of that chapter, let me also read, verse 23. But he that received seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. See? And because he understands it, the thing flourishes in his mind, in his heart, in his spirit, and in his life. And it brings forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. But it's all based on understanding. That's how powerful understanding is. Now, let's move on and cover some more ground here. Understanding is also comprehension. You know, we talked about that before. But even in comprehending the things of the spirit, it's really all about understanding. Many of the prayers that Apostle Paul prayed for his converts, like Ephesians chapter 3, take a look at, you know, verse, starting at verse 17, he said, look, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, and that's understand, with all these things, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God. That all comes from understanding. That word comprehend there is understanding. We begin to understand what things God can do for us. And he says, look, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. We can't be filled with the fullness of God if we don't understand it. Or do we understand the process? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That power is based on understanding. It is understanding that helps us to enlarge our faith horizon. The more you understand, you know, the greater heights, the greater the power that can work in your life. So this, we see how key understanding is. In the book of Luke chapter 2, let's look at some examples. I want to look at Jesus himself. In the book of Luke chapter 2, verses 46 to 47, this story, well, Mary and Joseph and their family went somewhere. When they were done, they left. A lot of people. But they thought Jesus, the little child, 12 years old, was with them, but he wasn't. So after a few days, a couple of days, they discovered and went back, found him in the temple. And he was sitting with scholars and doctors of law and philosophy. And everybody was amazed. Hallelujah. At age 12. I mean, how can you have this kind of understanding at age 12? Well, he did. You know, because the young boy, he grew in grace and he had understanding. So when they found him, you know, he was there. And they said, all that heard him, Luke chapter 2, verse 47. All the doctors of scholars and so forth that were with him, when they heard him, they were amazed at his understanding and answers. You know, and sometimes his answers were questions, you know, because he was asking them questions, we're told in verse 46. And, you know, throughout his life, he even developed that ability. He began to develop it more and more. Sometimes we don't think of Jesus as a person. We just think of him as the Son of God. But he was a person. And, you know, he had to develop all these things, just like the rest of us. The Lord endowed him with the spirit of the quickness of understanding and the fear of the Lord and the spirit of counsel and might and all these things. We read that in Isaiah chapter 11, first 5 verses or so. But he had to develop those abilities. By the time he was a grown man, he now knew how to challenge, how to answer people that challenged him with questions, with hard questions. He would answer them back with another question. And this is the kind of understanding that we should pray for. You know, we need to pray for this. It's not all the time we need to run off our mouths. Sometimes, if somebody asks you a question, maybe you ask them another question. And Jesus was a master at doing that. They would ask him a question. Well, where do you get all this authority from? You know, where do you get it from? I mean, we see that you have not gone to the school of Gamaliel. You have not gone to any of these schools. Where are your credentials? Who gave you this authority to do these things? And Jesus said, well, I will also ask you a question. You know, if you can answer it for me. Now, he had understanding. He had discernment to already read their minds and understand where they were going. So he will pose another question. If you can tell me the answer to my question, then I'll tell you the answer to mine. But he already knew they couldn't. So he said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of man? And so the people thought within and said, well, if we say it was from heaven, he would say, well, why then do you not believe him? And if we say it is from man, the people were going to be in trouble. They might stone us because all the men consider John the Baptist as a prophet. So they said, well, we don't know. We can't tell you. And Jesus said, fine, neither do I tell you. He moved on. Amazing. Amazing. One time they said, well, you know, taxes and all of these things and so forth. And then they challenged him. They said, well, okay, show me a coin. I asked them, whose image and superscription is this? They said, it's Caesar. I said, okay, fine. Then give to Caesar what Caesar and give to God what's God. He moved on. One time they asked him, well, you know, because they didn't believe in their hearts anything. Anyway, you know, many of the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So they said, they came and asked him, I said, look, okay, so there was a man among us that had, you know, he had a wife, this and that, and he died and he had no children. And then, you know, according to our law, you know, one of his brothers must take that wife and try to raise seed to his brother. And one did, died also, raised no seed. All of them, seven of them did. They died also. They didn't raise any seed. Now, in the resurrection, whose wife should she be of all the seven that had her? Because they all had her to wife. Jesus, by understanding, knowing their heart, asked them, you know, he said, look, you know neither, I know why you ask these things, because you know neither the power of God nor the scriptures. So, and then he began to tell them, have you not read, you know, what the Lord said from the beginning and so on. So anyway, understanding was in his heart and he developed that understanding, became a master at even answering their questions. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29 says, understanding will keep you from being hasty to wrath. Hallelujah. Now, you know, all of us need that. Don't get quickly angry about anything. If you need, if you have understanding, that'll keep you away from that. A person that has understanding will know when to keep his mouth shut. Hallelujah. You'll find that also in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 28. Proverbs 14:29 tells you that understanding will keep you from being hasty to wrath. Proverbs 17 and verse 28 tells you that a person that has understanding will know when to keep his mouth shut. I mean, these are powerful benefits of understanding already. In fact, I want to read that one. Proverbs 17 and verse 28. Proverbs 17 and 28. He said, look, even a fool when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Well, you turn it around, it means understanding will let you know when to keep your mouth shut. We don't have to always run off our mouth. Sometimes we speak, sometimes we don't. Understanding is what will help us to know when to speak and when not to speak. Now, I want to talk about insight is another way of looking at understanding. Insight, you know, this my favorite verse in Job 32:8 is actually based on insight. God gives you insight within your spirit, and we call it understanding. But I'm going to talk about three flavors of insight because of the past, the present and the future. Now, listen to this. Here, I'm going to give you something that is going to be so powerful. So stay with me here. There are three flavors of these insights. Insight for the present, you know, that's the one we call insight. Well, insight that you gain from the past is actually called hindsight. An insight that you might have into the future is actually called foresight. So let me talk briefly about hindsight, insight, and foresight. Hallelujah. So let's read first before I go there. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29 verse 18 tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, so vision is important. Well, that's going to come into play in these next few minutes when I explain hindsight, insight, and foresight. So let's take a look. Hindsight, well, let me start first from insight. Insight, which has to do with right now, is the ability for you to understand, have awareness of your surroundings, understand, you know, have comprehension about situations around you, grounded in facts. You're able to, you know, assess the situation. You have comprehension about what's going on. But here's what I want to talk about. Hindsight is the ability to gain insight from your past. Now, that means you have understanding, you have enlightenment, and you're learning from the past. Now, it doesn't, you know, that past could have had mistakes, particularly, let me talk about that. Maybe some failures of the past or some mistakes of the past. You know, a man of understanding and a man, when I say man, and not using that as a gender thing, a person of understanding will have, you know, insight, and they can even gain hindsight from the past. Now, sometimes hindsight is a bit too late, but it's still useful. Because rather than consider the thing that failed in the past as a failure, insight and understanding will help you to learn from it. So you've learned something. If you try to do something and it didn't work, some people said, well, we failed. Well, a man of understanding or insight will say, well, I learned how it doesn't work. So, you know, so you can see how, you know, understanding and insight can actually turn negative into positive. Rather than look at it as failure, you can see it as lessons learned. So you gain knowledge, you gain some understanding. Well, it doesn't work that way. I'm going to try something different next time. And if you know that it didn't work that way and you do it again the same way, then that's foolishness. So understanding actually brings us wisdom. And you gain that insight from the past. Now, there may also be successes in the past. You know, so you can also build upon those to get even greater successes. Now, let me give you a law right now. You will never be better than you were yesterday if you fail to move beyond your past. I don't know whose law that is, but whether the past was filled with failure or successes. Let me repeat that. I'm going to explain. You'll never be better than you were yesterday. Now let's consider failure first before we even consider success. If you're dwelling on the past because of some failure, then that thing's going to keep you down. Here's the way I like to explain it. I say, well, it's like people who put their hand on the rewind button all the time. You know, when we used to have those tape recorders that you can rewind back and forth. Just put your hand on that rewind button all the time. Get that finger off that rewind button. You know, can't live in the past. Now, and you can't stay down. You made a mistake. You fell down in the past. You got to get up. God expects you to get up. God's even in your corner wanting you to get up. The enemy, of course, says stay down. The other corner says stay down. Throw in the towel. God says no, get up. I'm in your corner. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8 says, look, you may cheap shot me, but I'm not going to stay down for the count. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. Well, maybe you fell in the past, but you must arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. And that's somebody who understands how to use insight to stir himself up, even hindsight over the past. Now there are some folks, though, religious folks especially, that will never let you get away from your past. And the devil is the champion of that. I was going to tell you. And religious folks will leave people wounded like that. Because they're too judgmental. And they don't care to bring healing. But all they care is judge the person who's already wounded. There's a lot of wound and a lot of hurt today. A lot of people have walked away from the church. And that in itself is wrong. That's not accurate. That's wrong. That's wrong behavior. But it's because they couldn't find healing. You know, so the story in Luke 10 that we call the Good Samaritan story, I've told this several times. The aspect of that story that strikes me when I'm talking of this subject are the priests and the Levites that left the wounded man there like that. And here's the way I see it, because the way Jesus told the story, you have to read between the lines. Jesus said, a certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on the way, armed robbers got to him. So when the Levite and the priest came by, here's the way I put it. You know, they said, well, you should have stayed in Jerusalem, which was the house of God. What business you have traveling to Jericho, which was Sin City? So, you know, in their judgmental minds, they left him wounded like that. You know, if you would have stayed in Jerusalem, this would not have happened to you. And so, well, you got what you deserve because you should have stayed in Jerusalem. What were you doing trying to go to Jericho? Well, that's not the point. The point is the man is already wounded. So what are you going to do? But they walked away. The Levite came there, looked at the man, walked away. The priest came there, looked at the man, walked away. And he took a stranger that was despised. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. You know, and then when you want to really insult somebody, you call them a Samaritan. They thought they were insulting Jesus one time. They said, did we not say you are a Samaritan and you have a devil? That's how you insult somebody. Because these Samaritans were looked down very narrowly upon. They were not even second class citizens. They were third, fourth, or fifth class. And they didn't have any dealings with them. But it was the Samaritan that bounded up this man. So when there are bad things in the past, the devil won't let you get away from it. You yourself won't get away from it. And so it'll keep you in the past. And you will never be better today than you were yesterday, unless you learn to move beyond your past. So that's a big punchline for today. But let me also put it to you this way. When Moses came to Mount Horeb, and some of you have heard me say this, and I love to say this, Because when Moses came to Mount Horeb, what he saw, the burning bush that was burning, but the bush not consumed, what he thought was dirt and rubbish, God said it was holy ground. That difference is how Moses looked at it. Moses looked around and he saw dirt and bush and rubbish on the ground. And he tried to get close to the site. And God said, no, put off your shoes because this is holy ground. God sees it as holy ground. So don't see your life as dirt or bush or this or that. See it as holy ground like God sees it if God is in it. God will never be in it if it's dirt or rubbish. God doesn't live in dirt and he doesn't live in rubbish. God's presence makes it holy ground. One moment, it might have been bush. One moment, it might have been dirt. One moment, it might have been rubbish. It might have been all kinds of things on the ground. Lizards, insects, crawling, and so forth. That next moment, because of the presence of God, it's called holy ground. You can read all of that in Exodus chapter 3, the first 5 or so verses. Now, so here we are. Even successes of the past, unless you learn to move beyond that, you will not be better than that either. You had one great success. We've talked about failures already. I'm even talking about successes now. Great people that did great things and continue to do great things, they don't stop at the one great thing they did before. They're always constantly trying to do even more. That's why we have great inventors. You know, and they, but if you just, you know, we did this before and so on, and you just, you know, rest on your oars, as some people call it, then you'll never be better than that. So one way or another, this law is true. You will never be better than you were yesterday if you fail to move beyond your past. Whether that past was filled with failure or successes, you need to keep moving forward. Hallelujah. God said to Moses in Exodus 14 and 15, move forward. Go forward is what he said. You know, now you may be facing your Red Sea moment, but you got to go forward. You can't keep, you know, these children of Israel, they were never better than they were in Egypt because they failed to move back past Egypt. They were always saying, were there no graves in Egypt? You should have left us there. And all the time they were always complaining, grumbling, and thinking about Egypt. Now, when they were in Egypt, they were crying out for God. Now they say, well, you should have left us in Egypt. Well, they will never be better than that because their mind's always going back to Egypt. You got to go forward and leave that behind you. That was then. This is now. Now, foresight, on the other hand, well, before I go to foresight, let me give you a promise of new things. Isaiah 43 verses 18 to 19 tells us that, look, God's done some great things in the past, but now I will do a new thing. You know, so don't, you know, some of us say, well, you know, I've been saved. You know, I received the Holy Ghost 10 to 20 years ago. And I speak in tongues, but there's nothing new happening. Well, you're not going to be better than that until you learn to move past that. And ask God for something new. Hallelujah. So this is all part of insight. Foresight, on the other hand, says the future. You know, people who have insight know not only how to use hindsight to gain understanding from the past, but they can have a way to also make, predict and shape, predict their actions, predict the future and appropriately shape their actions today for the future. The future you see today is where you will be tomorrow. If you don't see it, you can't get it. That's how visionaries are born. You got to see the future before you can get there. That's hindsight. That's foresight. This is so powerful. God said to Genesis 13 to Abraham, verses 14 and 15, when he split from Lot, he said, look, look from the place where you are. Yeah, you got to look from the place where you are. Don't, you know, you've dwelt long enough on this mount, he said to the children of Israel. Now move on. That's enough already. Look from the place where you are and see all the west, east lands now. Anything you can see, the land that you see is what I'll give you. Now, the future that you see today is what you can get to and is what God can give you. If you can't see it, you can't get there. That's basically what God is saying. And if Abraham would have figured out a way to see even more, then God would have given him. But he managed to only see the land here and there, maybe some parts of Canaan and so on. But God said, all the land that you see is what I'll give you. This is so powerful. Now, the choices you make today will help you to shape tomorrow. Because, and some of the things that we are living in today could be as a result of choices we made in the past. Making right choices, as we know, that's crucial to life. But, you know, we can't, you know, wallow in bad choices that we made before. We got to move on. There are some critical choices we must make in our life. Turning our lives over for Christ's Lordship. Choices that we need to make about marriage, career, business, etc. These are all choices. You know, but you can use foresight and, you know, and you can use insights into the past, which is called hindsight, to gain strength and understanding even for the future and even the present. The story of David in 1 Samuel 17, verses 26 to 52. I'm not going to read it. When he went against Goliath, what was it that he did? Well, people say, you can't do that. And he said, well, I sure can, because he called upon the past. And he said, look, in the past, a lion came to steal one of my, you know, a young kid from the flock. I went after him and got back. That was mine. I slew it. Likewise, a bear. And when that bear rose up against me, he looked just as tall as this Goliath. And I dealt with him too. And he used experience of the past to gain an understanding for the present and to predict his victory against Goliath. Hallelujah. And he got great elevation after this as well. So, you know, we use understanding of our past. We make some to use it to gather information and to make prediction for and preparation for the future. But don't dwell in the past. You got to move on. Hallelujah. Let me cover some quick benefits, which I may have mentioned already, but as a summary, understanding will help you to hold up the house that wisdom built against the cracks, Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. Understanding will even bring you happiness. Now, this one is new. I haven't told you this yet. But listen to this. Happy is the man, Proverbs 3 and 13, that finds wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Well, you read that, turn that around, it means understanding will give you happiness. Hallelujah. Because the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So that's powerful. It will even bring good things into your life. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 19. There's a lot of stuff in this book of Proverbs about understanding wisdom and all these things. Proverbs 19 verse 8 says, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, and he that keepeth understanding shall find good. Well, that means understanding will bring good things into your life. Praise God. Well, understanding will cause you to depart from evil. We already read that in Job 28, verse 28. Understanding, listen to this, in Proverbs chapter 16, and verse 6. Here's what it says about understanding. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Well, the fear of the Lord and all of that earlier, we said it comes from understanding. You know, so that will even, all of those things, you know, tie together. Now, listen to this. Okay, we talked about understanding, keeping you from wrath before, Proverbs 14 and 29. But let me tell you quickly about a group of people in the Bible. They were called the children of Issachar. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. They even had understanding about the times and the seasons. And let's see what he did for them. I want to read 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and I want to read verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. See? The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were there at their commandment. The fact that they had understanding of the seasons, of the times, they knew what to do and what not to do, actually put them ahead of all their brethren. Everybody else was their commandment. So their understanding made these children of Issachar, who were skilled in understanding times and seasons and things like that. And they knew that, look, this is time for us to seek the Lord. You know, they became like, well, you want to call them like teachers of the people. You know, and they became heads of the people. Hallelujah. Now, the things we have spoken, here is the summary. Let me wrap it up here. You know, this understanding, which is a pillar of wisdom, is key to so many things. It is what strengthens the house that wisdom is building. We can't even understand the things of God. I mean, we can't make progress or bring fruit from the word we hear if we have no understanding. If we don't have understanding, the enemy will come and pluck it out from our heart. But it is the very word that will give us understanding. So like I said, it's like a catch-22. But what you need to do, open your heart and seek understanding. Then the Lord will give it to you. Understanding is a very deep subject, and the insight, the foresight, the hindsight that I covered will help us also to know how to use the past to our advantage rather than letting the past, you know, drag us down. Use it to your advantage. Whatever you learned, whatever happened in the past, you know, I mean, we should never, the word failure should never come out of your mind or mouth when you are thinking of yourself. Never. never failed at anything. All you did was learn that it doesn't work. You know, even if you took an exam and you so quote unquote failed, well, now you've learned that those answers that you gave were wrong. And you've learned that if you didn't do this or that, you may not do well in that exam. So you learned something. You know, so let's be positive. And when we look at those things that happened in the past, we gain an understanding. We can use that to make, you know, gather facts and make predictions about even the future. You know, if you see how things have worked in the past, then say, well, you know, a prudent man can foresee the evil and hide himself. I'm not going to do that again. I've already learned that that doesn't work. So I'm going to be better prepared for tomorrow. Don't forget, you will never be better than you were yesterday if you fail to move beyond your past, whatever the past was. And if you don't learn anything at all today, you know, let's learn Genesis chapter 13. Let's learn what God said to him, you know, and so learn this by heart today. What God said to Abraham in Genesis 13. Let's learn it by heart. The Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was departed from him, lift up now thine eyes, Genesis 13 and 14, and look from the place where thou art, where you are right now. Look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Expand your horizon. The more you can see, the Lord said, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. You know, and well, if anything is blocking your vision, rise up higher so you can see even further out. You know, there's a mathematical formula. I'm not going to get into it, but there's a mathematical formula for calculating the distance of where you are to the horizon. Hallelujah. You know, in terms of meters and things like that, you can look it up in the internet. It's a mathematical formula for calculating. And the higher you go, you know, it's a factor times the square root of, you know, some distance. It is the higher you go, the further out you can see. And the horizon is like an imaginary line where it seems like the sky meets the ground. If you're out in the ocean and there's nothing blocking your view, you seem like you see the horizon, but the closer you get to it, the thing keeps moving out. It's just like a horizon. But even science tells us that if you're at ground level, you can only see so far. Maybe you can see, I don't know, 100 feet or 100 yards ahead of you. If you go up to a 100-story building, you might be able to see about 5 miles out if there's nothing blocking your view, and so on and so forth. Now, if you go out up higher and sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then imagine what you can see. Glory to God. Just think about it. Because now, you are sitting way up there. You can look all around you and you can see. Hallelujah. You know, and the angels have a vantage point like that. You know, they can see, but they are much higher. Even science will tell you, when they send these things into space and so forth, they have to go much higher above the earth. When they get above the earth, now they can see the whole earth. Glory to God. So rise in faith and use your faith to see further out. And don't let the devil tell you anything about your past. That was then, but this is now. The prayer we're going to pray today, as I wrap it up, for understanding, is very simple. Lord, I need this pillar of wisdom, which is understanding and insight in my life. Give me the inspiration of the Almighty daily through digesting of thy word, your ingestion of thy word. Hallelujah. There are some scriptures for that kind of prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, and turn with me, and we're going to use it to pray. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. Here is what Paul was telling, how he always prayed for those believers, you know, that came to the Lord through him. Wherefore also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love of unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Well, maybe these were not even his own converts, but he heard of their faith anyway. That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You can't get away from that understanding. That you may know. It's when your eyes of understanding are enlightened, that's when you know. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Hallelujah. And began to tell you all the things that he did and how he raised Christ up and caused him, you know, to set him on the right hand in heavenly places. Glory to God. So, understanding is key. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listened in today. Thank you for your word. May we have understanding each time that we hear your word, so that the birds of the air, the devil himself, will not pluck it out of our heart. We thank you, Lord, for understanding that you have given us today. We know that wisdom is the principal thing, but you said with all our getting, we must get understanding. Give us, therefore, Lord, this heart of understanding. Solomon prayed and said, Lord, give me a heart of understanding that I may know how to deal with your people. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, that you give us understanding. Understanding in the things of the world. Daniel had understanding in visions. They knew sciences. They knew all these things. Give us understanding, Lord. Hallelujah. To know how to direct our affairs, even with discretion. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory, Lord. Help us to glean from the past, whether those past were failures or successes, and gather all the facts to make the right judgment for now and for the future. And help us to enlarge the vision, our vision, to see even further out. And by the grace of God, you say what we see, you will give to us. We know that you can strengthen us to see even more. Give us, O Lord, an understanding even today. Give us this heart of understanding, the spirit of understanding. Help us to draw out the wells of counsel that's deep in our heart by understanding. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.